Thank you so much, Nick. Good afternoon, everyone, or good evening. Thank you all for being with us today. The time now is 4:03 p.m., and I'm calling to order the December 8th hearing for the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission hearing. Present today is Sharon Cayley. I don't think I see Kristen, Helen Pillsbury, and staff member Nicholas Amata. Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing. To review applications. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, including the October 13th, 2022 amendment extending the suspension of these provisions until March 31st, 2023, we are conducting these meetings online. To ensure public access to deliberations of the District Commission, the public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. The hearing is being recorded. All further discussions between commissioners should be audible to the public in attendance until the hearing has adjourned. Are there any media or elected officials present? Hearing none. The members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment to applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform, and we will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. Just give me one sec, just opened on my screen. Okay, so the first item on the agenda is an administrative approval slash review for application number 230418 for 160 Strathmore Road to repave the parking lot. Are there any recusals from any commission members? And again, the public is asked to hold comment until after the discussions. And if does any of the commissioners have any questions about this?
Just one, what is currently there? Is it blacktop or some other material?
Yep, it's blacktop.
Okay, and we would be replacing it, or they would be replacing it in kind?
That's correct, yes.
But and Nick, if I may comment, it looks like it's almost kind of behind the building. If I mean, I looked at it on Google. It looks like there's kind of a driveway that goes up the side.
Yeah.
And the parking area, I guess, is technically visible from a public way, but it's not like that's in the front or anything.
Correct. Yes. So
It doesn't look like anything that was like originally illegally front yard parking or something that we could take the opportunity to replace or anything.
Correct.
Like that.
Right. This is rear parking.
Awesome. If there are no more questions from the commission, I'm going to open up public comment. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform, and we will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing.
Great. So I am not seeing anybody who is raising their hands for this application, so we can close the public comment portion for the administrative review items.
Awesome. So public comment is now closed, and we will move on to the voting portion. Is there any motion from a commissioner?
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
Great. We'll take the all in favor. Aye.
Aye.
I'm not hearing any nays. I have an aye for that too. And application 230418 has been approved. Great.
And then the meeting minutes from October.
Excellent. And that was October 13th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for the meeting minutes, so the question is on the ratification of October 13th public hearing minutes. Is there a motion from a commissioner?
I make a motion.
I'll second it.
Accept.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the meeting minutes have been ratified.
Okay. So with that, we will start with the advisory review for, I believe it is 358 Chestnut Hill Avenue. We have representatives here from City Realty as well as Embark. So Dan, I will give you co-hosting ability so that you can share your screen, or did we want to do it with Jacob's screen?
It's actually Ermelin, Nick.
Yeah, I'll be sharing the presentation.
Ah, perfect. I gotcha. Cool. All right. You're all set. So whenever you guys are ready. And a reminder to the public that this is an advisory hearing, so no vote will be taken tonight. And we will not be taking public comment unless the commission feels that it's necessary. So when this application does come before us, there will be a public comment period where you can submit comments for feedback. So with that, I will turn it over to City Realty and Embark.
Thanks, Nick. My name is Dan Artigas. I'm with Embark. We're the architect for the project. I'm joined with by Ermelin Moliere, who's a designer with Embark, as well as Jacob Simmons, representing City Realty, who's the developer for the project. The site is located at 358 Chestnut Hill Ave. You can go to the next two slides. The proposed project is located at 358 Chestnut Hill Ave in Brighton. It's near Cleveland Circle, right across the street from the community swimming pool and the Chestnut Hill Reservoir. It's the building directly in front of you, existing mid-century modern facade, three-story brick structure. The proposed project is to use the structure of the building and add four stories for a total of a seven-story building with 34 units. It is in the Alston-Brighton neighborhood, as well as within the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District, which is why we're here with you tonight. The total lot size is quite large. It's just shy of 18,000 square feet. So the building itself, you can go to the next slide. Thanks, Herm. So the site is an oddly shaped site. The building footprint is, if you go to the next slide here.
Sorry.
The building footprint is pretty limited, and a large portion of the site is surface parking, which we are looking to integrate and add to landscape that is small portions of the site that's landscape. So if you go to the next slide, you can see the site plan showing the footprint of the building right here in the foreground, as well as the remainder of the site. And just noticing that that is mostly surface parking. Next slide, please. So just zooming out, we're a quick walk to Cleveland Circle, the community swimming pool across the street, Chestnut Hill Ave to our front. The ingress for the parking is off Chestnut Hill Ave, and the egress for the parking is onto Englewood Ave. That's current. It's due with easements, and we're proposing no change to that. Currently, there are roughly 30 parking spaces. We're proposing a reduction in parking, but an inclusion in additional landscaping to the rear of the site, inclusion of trees, as well as proposed new permeable paving for some portions of the parking lot. And as I kind of mentioned before, the footprint of the building is not changing. We're maintaining the existing structure and not proposing any addition to the footprint. Next slide, please. So just in terms of the massing, you can see the existing three stories at the top left-hand corner here, proposing a rethinking. We looked at a couple of different options, but the proposal for you today for us to talk about is the potential demolition of the front and rear facade. Down in the bottom left-hand corner, you could see that we kind of put a four-story addition on the top and then used our massing as well as materials to kind of take some influence from the height and massing of the buildings next to us and tie the building and the proposed massing into the Chestnut Hill Ave rhythm of that street. Next slide, please. So as I had mentioned, we looked at a number of facade approaches. On the right-hand side of the page is an approach where we maintain the original facade so that you can see right where the light gray turns the dark gray. And the addition kind of builds off of the original facade design, but where the building steps back at the fourth floor using some of the spacing of those vertical metal fins from the original design to create larger window openings and kind of create a different typology of the front facade design, as well as a color differentiation to clearly define the new and the old. And from that design, we went to the scheme on the left-hand side of the page where we would demolish the original facade, create a six-story cornice line, as well as a vertical inflection over the residential entry on the left-hand side of the facade, but also maintain the thin typology of the original building design. And then subsequently, if you go to the next slide, we looked at a much more different, but more modern and respectful to the mid-century modern ideals of the original facade, but in a new inflection in a little bit of a more contemporary modern way. So we maintained that six-story cornice that ties in with the building directly to our right, created that vertical inflection above the residential entry, as well as maintained the commercial space at the grade, at the ground floor along Chestnut Hill Ave. On the next slide, you can see a more of a detail of what we're proposing for the facade, which is a kind of corbelled design at the windows, a mixture of Juliet balconies as well as smaller scale window openings with operable windows, as well as larger window openings facing the Chestnut Hill Reservoir. In addition to the large openings, we kind of created a depth in the facade, about 6 inches to a foot, to create some depth and relief along the street. Next slide, please. So in addition to the front facade, we also looked at how we address the side of the building where we have the four-story addition, looking at two different options where we simply extend the brick facade of the existing party wall up, or kind of use an extension of our building design from the front facade. And that can subsequently, in the next slide, be a home for some sort of mural. Obviously, this is not necessarily something that we're proposing, this specific mural, but it could be something that we work with the community, local artists, figure out something that is appropriate in the interim before potential development of the buildings next door to us. And the next slide should be... So this is just precedent images of what we were looking at for that, the depth of this facade. In the middle here, you can see how those Juliet balconies can kind of live within the small step back that we're creating, the depth, as well as the richness of the materials, looking at doing a mixture of horizontal siding, as well as this larger scale metal panel. And warmer tones that ties in with the kind of warm tones of the brick of the street. And then the next slide is the end. Thank you for your time. Look forward to all of your comments. We can also go back to anywhere in the presentation if you'd like.
Great. Thanks very much, Dan. Appreciate the thoughtful presentation here. So commissioners, so there's a couple things that we need to talk about. So first is the significance of the existing structure and whether or not it contributes to the neighborhood. And then if, you know, whatever we decide from there, if it can be demolished, you know, can we give them some guidance in terms of, you know, what the existing building looks like and how it relates to the buildings next door? Or if it can't be demolished, how can we add some height and additional square footage to the structure while paying close attention to the existing details. So I guess, first of all, we should have kind of a discussion on as to whether or not this building can be or could be demolished. So what are your thoughts on that?
Nick, do we have any information on when this particular structure was built? It looks like early 60s.
I want to say it was 60s or early 70s. Mm-hmm. Dan, do you have any information on that?
I think that's correct. I'm just looking for my notes. I don't have it right in front of me here, but I can come back with that. But that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Also, your presentation, you mentioned something about plans for the adjacent buildings. I'm assuming that that's speculation, or have you begun conversations with those property owners?
No, we have not. The main thing is that there at some point there were some openings on that side of the facade, which have subsequently been closed, and they have to be closed because it's a zero lot line. Yeah. So we were looking at a couple of different options, namely that, you know, the brick party wall versus putting some sort of facade design on that side of the building, because we don't know what will happen in the future, and we're sensitive to the fact that we can't put any openings there, but we don't want it to just look like a blank part of the project. So we're looking at a couple of different options to make sure that we address that without kind of creating this large brick wall that's unaddressed.
Mm-hmm. And this, so just so everyone knows, this building is listed in the study report for the district. So it is listed on the property list at the very back.
You know, I feel it's certainly not it's more different than some of the other than most of the other buildings in the neighborhood because it is newer. I'm very wary of demolition of, you know. I'd like to hear Nikita's thoughts on this too, that what the value of that is. You know, we're so, I can't say that I love that existing building, but it represents a certain development in the neighborhood, a certain progression in the neighborhood. And, you know, I'm just worried about deleting things, deleting history basically.
Let me go back to something earlier in the presentation. You mentioned in demolishing the front and the rear facade. Is there a picture of the rear facade?
Yes, it's on the bottom right-hand side here. Sorry, it's colored in pink, but you can see it has the same detailing. On the right-hand side, that's a stair core. That's brick.
Okay.
Is that rear facade visible, like from Englewood or any public street?
I don't believe it is. I think you get the brick, the corner of the brick stair core, but the buildings, if you look at the top left-hand side here, the apartment buildings on Englewood obscure the view of that facade. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, if I may, the only visibility of the rear is for the people parking in the rear parking lot.
Okay, thank you.
And judging from the plans, do you propose to extend if you're going to go with an addition, extend it further into the parking lot?
No, the footprint of the building would remain the same.
Okay. And you've checked the foundation to see that it can carry an extra four stories?
Yes, we've been working with a structural engineer. They've surveyed the existing building.
Okay, and one last question, and then I'll cede the floor to someone else. We're considering two possibilities, the demolition of the front and the rear facade, or are you suggesting a complete demolition of the building?
So in its current inception, the demolition would be only on the front and the rear facade.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so it sounds like Helen is in favor of preserving the building. Not sure what Sharon's thoughts are, but Nikita, what are we thinking?
I'm leaning toward the project as proposed. I like the spin on that. I like the, you know, either the later version of the renderings. Thank you.
Yeah,
I do like that, you know. I feel like the building in its current state is just not as contributing as others in the district. And, you know, for that reason, a more modern take on it would be beneficial, but that's where I'm coming from on it.
Nikita, sorry, what if they were to keep the building and build on top of it, build additional mm-hmm. floors, would you be open to that? Or, you know, would you prefer to see this rendition of the build if it were approved?
So keeping the yeah. incorporation of what's already there.
Yep.
Here's the deal. The renderings for these don't really give me that much insight, right, on what it would really look like. It looks nice on paper, but I'm like, I kind of need to see how that, because to me, the current building, I think, looks atrocious, right? And it's the state that it is. I know it has significance because it's like, oh, look at these. I don't care. It's gross to me. So I would need to see, I would need to see how it would look kind of like the later renderings. But, you know, those are my feelings.
Cool. Okay. So Sharon,
I had two additional thoughts.
Okay.
And one is that I do appreciate the way this particular rendition that we're looking at doesn't duplicate, but it mirrors some of the architectural features of the building across the alley. Mm-hmm. And that's a nice element. My other consideration, though, is adding so many more floors makes it the tallest building in that block. And is that setting a precedent for everyone else who wants to maximize their property ownership? And I'll leave it at that. Helen, I'm sure has some thoughts on that.
I'd like to make, I really want to refer to the guidelines for new construction. So I know this takes time, but I'm just going to read, if I may, what the guidelines are, because they, intent is to, the new construction should respect the existing buildings in material form and siting, as well as existing landscape. There's really not landscape in this situation. Should relate to particular streetscape, which is a part in building mass, setback, rhythm, and scale, proportions, material, and siting. It's the focus is on compatibility of the new structure with existing character. And the new construction shall be of a similar overall height, physical size, and shape to the buildings adjacent to it. In the event a new building has two such abutters of differing heights, it shall conform to one of them or be of an intermediate height. New construction, the setbacks are really not a consideration here because there is no setbacks. New construction should relate to the rhythm and projections like porches, bays, and the buildings surrounding it. The scale, location, type of fenestration on new construction should be related to the buildings of similar scale types that surround it. The finished materials, including walls, roofing, windows, sash doors, porches, ornamentation, new construction should be related to the buildings of similar scale types that surround it. So the issue here is that this is much taller than the buildings that surround it, rather than relating to them. And I think it is an important point, because those one-story commercial buildings that abut it, it's very possible that those would be at some point proposed to have be removed and have a new construction there. And as of this week, the Shell station has been removed. So presumably there's some proposal that's going to be coming forward for this Shell station. So whatever height this building is will probably be the same height that anything else along this street would be constructed at. So I think we need to ask, is, you know, four stories higher than its neighboring building, is that acceptable, or should it be maybe one story higher than the existing building, but maybe not four stories higher than the existing building? Because I think that will become the sight line or the height line of potential new construction in this along this block, these two blocks here.
Good point, Helen. Dan, what's the height comparison with the existing building to its to the right versus the one you're proposing?
So the proposed is two stories above. That white volume there matches the cornice line of the adjacent.
Okay.
So that's the current proposal.
Okay.
If I may, I believe the abutting building though does function as six stories, is that right?
I believe so. Yeah, there's a half story, and then it, you know, at the corner of Chestnut Hill Ave and Beacon Street, or what the there's a jumble there, but at that corner it is essentially six stories because of the grade.
So if you're permitted to, you know, either construct a new building or you know, build on the existing, we're going to need a height comparison to a little bit more in depth than what you guys have now when you do submit for your application. So just be mindful of that. So something to keep in mind.
I mean, you know, I would find it acceptable. Maybe I'm interested to know what the zoning height is currently, like what the zoning allows as of right.
Jacob, do you know?
Not off the top of my head. I can double check the zone here. I mean, I think.
You know.
It's a neighborhood shopping district, which doesn't always get. If you give me a minute, I'll find it.
Yeah, see if I can do.
Yeah, but I have it right here. I can pull up, Nick. Don't worry. Is the zoned allowed height.
So you're going significantly over that. So you would need zoning relief.
We do. That's one of our variants.
Got it.
And I'm sure the building, the existing building at 374, whatever it's Chestnut Avenue, I'm sure that's a higher than 35 feet. So to me, equaling that height or going slightly above that height would be acceptable, but I think not four stories above that height. Again, because I think that will be what is, we're gonna see further proposals.
Oh, on, yes.
On this street.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanna comment on the style and the guidelines for not just materials, but like the kind of the envelope design. It's recommended new buildings use the elements that give the district its central character. Where you use, they should approximate the proportions of the materials in these buildings. Elements included aren't limited to the following. For apartment building or townhouses, brick or stucco exterior finish. This is, I think, an important one. Defined base, body, and cornice. Windows have a strong vertical proportion. I think that is true in what's proposed. Windows can be picked single, paired, or grouped in threes. Flat roofs, appropriate cornice lines. Well-defined entry on front facades. And one of the characteristics to me of the buildings in our neighborhood is that they have a symmetrical facade with a center entrance. And what I don't like about this, I can accept this to be a modern building. It might not be brick like the other buildings. It might be more modern materials, but this kind of patchwork style, this asymmetrical patchwork, that's what I call it, patchwork kind of mishmash style, that is, it's the contemporary style. So almost all the buildings are, that are, you know, there's so many of them being built in the current, you know, last several years. But I mean, to me, something that reads with the symmetry of, it doesn't have to be the same detail as the building next to it, but reads more with the symmetry of the building adjacent to it, would be more in keeping with the character and feeling of the neighborhood and the what you might call the historical buildings here. You know, I like some of the materials of this, but the thing with just the patchwork stuff, I don't know, it doesn't to me relate to the building next to it.
Great. So that, it sounds like there does need to be some improvements with the proposed design, but I think we're, as a group, are still stuck on whether or not we can demolish the existing building. You know, we can certainly do a round of design reviews for this in collaboration with the BPDA, because they're also doing that. And if we approve this, you know, we can work with Dan and Jacob to kind of reduce the timeframe for that. And but, you know, what Helen, we know what you think, but I guess Sharon, you're kind of the tiebreaker here in terms of whether or not we can remove the existing facade.
All right. I can appreciate Helen's adherence to the guidelines, and because that's why we have them. We need them to help us navigate this. Having said that, I agree with Nikita. I think the current facade is seriously ugly and would be no loss. What I see here is an improvement. However, we have to be careful about approaching this, because it's very easy to go from interesting variation to a total mishmash. Mm-hmm. And I'm leery about that. So I would be in favor of a demolition of the front and rear facade, but with provisos. And one of the provisos would be another review of the final design for the front. The building height is a separate issue. And I am very concerned about everybody wishing to build higher and taller and ending up with a whole other mess of shadows and other standards that we sort of let loose. So if that's my half and half answer, that's
sure.
That's what I've got.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And if I might, Nick, I don't at all love the existing building. So I'm not, you know, my concern is that we're just very quick to demolish things in this country before we have time to going forward to sort of I can't think of where I'm trying to say, but think about things and consider them and decide if they're of value or not. I personally don't at all love that building, but I really do feel strongly about the height, because it is the height, whatever height this is what several more buildings on the street are probably going to be. And I really am serious about like that whole base cornice, body base, you know, base body cornice and symmetry. I think that can be done in a modern vernacular with some of these same materials, with some of these same shapes, but just not, I call this style mishmash or patchwork, just not the mishmash, you know. It's, I understand it's what's kind of in style now, but to me it's a little too jarring, you know, in relation to the building next to it. And I'm completely accepting of like a very rectilinear building of a very like these kind of sharp edges and you know, not red brick, you know, or yellow brick. It's more modern materials, but to me, just style wise, to have something that reads more like the style of the neighborhood.
Got it. Okay. So I think what Dan and Jacob need to focus on, I think first of all, we have to look at the fenestrations in relation to the abutting building to the right, and then try also to take some influence from the materials used on some of the apartment style buildings in the neighborhood and draw some influence from them. Helen, what I've also heard you said is the segments of each of these buildings. So they're segmented in two or three parts. So the building next door looks like there's three components to the facade. There's the lower storefront / entryway, and then you have the apartment complex section in the middle, and then you have kind of the penthouse type area on the top, those three segments there.
And you almost have that. I'm sorry, you almost have it in this design. It's just this white part that kind of pops out instead of maybe something that's more, you know, more that, you know, cornice base. Cornice, yep. Body base model.
Maybe less emphatic.
And one thing that's important also in the guidelines, and I don't know if I read this, but is the entranceway. The entranceway should be well defined. And yep. I guess one question I have, I don't know if we discuss this, but I assume would there be retail on that first floor? Or would it
just, yes, so there would. Oh, I'm sorry.
So you would need to allow for retail and retail entrances, but I think that the which would be less prominent. But I think the entrance that's the residential entrance needs to be well-defined, and it's kind of a significant feature of relating to the rest of the building.
I think those are all great comments, and I hear you in terms of the symmetry, definitely the proportions. Appreciate that you saw that we were trying to go that direction. Maybe we went a little bit too far in the using the entire mass of the building to define where that residential entry, because on the left-hand side here, where the massing kind of reaches out and grabs that single entry on the left-hand side there, that would be the residential entry. But I appreciate your comment on the symmetry of the building and the importance of that to the district. So we'll definitely look at that and readdress the proportions that you outlined for sure. But
and Dan, fantastic. Real quick, the tan material, what material is that?
So we're looking at a couple of materials. It's a large scale panel. We have a couple of types of metal, as well as it's a stone type panel. It's called Petrarch. Okay. And it has a stone type finish, concealed fasteners. And you can get large sizes like that. And we're able to do that almost coffered detailing, which may be a little bit more appropriate and play off of some of the brick type textural quality, as well as the coloration.
Cool. Okay. So that's a somewhat new material for us. So if they were to approve that, we would need to see some mock-ups for that. And I'm assuming BPDA will require that as well. So great.
I'm sure that this project will have to have a street-facing mock-up. So we'll have that. But also, Nick, I actually have a panel in our office in Boston. So if you wanted us to drop it off, we could drop it off so you could take a look.
Sure. Yeah, we could do that. That's fine. Cool. And then, so the only other thing that I want the commissioners to comment on are the balconies, right? There are very few apartment blocks in this neighborhood, in the historic Aberdeen neighborhood, that have balconies. Commissioners, what do we think about these balconies here? I do think it's a creative way of integrating some outdoor space, which is sorely needed in post-COVID era. But we don't see a lot of it in the neighborhood. So what are your thoughts on that?
Are these functional balconies where the people could actually go outside on them, or are they just little great railings as an aesthetic detail?
So the ones on the main facade are Juliet balconies. So they just have railings, probably large open windows, but people can't walk out onto them. Where the step back is on the sixth floor, we are proposing a front common balcony. It was within working with the BPDA, there was some interest in providing common amenity space for the project, for the building. We felt that facing the reservoir, as well as the more public amenity, which is the pool, it would be more appropriate than the rear.
And there's no opportunity for any type of green space, like even street trees. I'm assuming
about that.
Yeah.
Great question. And it's something that we're working with. It was a comment from the BPDA, and it's something that we're working on right now. As I'm sure you're all aware, the Chestnut Hill Ave on this stretch has a significant grade change. Yep. So in front of the building, there are some pretty difficult to traverse ramps to get into that retail space. So what we're trying to do is work within those boundaries, and we feel that we can get at a minimum a single street tree and still provide the necessary clearance to that driveway, that existing driveway, and provide the ramp and accessible entries needed into our retail and residential space. But I didn't want to put in the rendering because I didn't want to overpromise, but it is important to us if we can, if we are able to.
Got it. Okay. Cool.
Nick, to answer your question, I'm sorry.
Nope, go ahead. I was just going to wrap it up. So go ahead.
Question about the balconies. You know, there are, they may not be common, but there are several examples, especially on ComEd. A lot of times they're like brick facade buildings. It's kind of like a brick balcony with brick pilasters that kind of built into that front, you know, facade there. There are several buildings that have little balconies in front. I wouldn't say that it's not the most common characteristic, but I wouldn't say that it's completely atypical either. So that, you know, I don't think it's such a prominent feature here. It's not, there's anything jarring about it or out of place seeming about it. So I don't see that as a negative or really an issue of concern. Awesome.
Good. That's good to hear.
Yeah, I rather like the idea of Juliet balconies too, although it would be nice if they were more than 4 inches wide, but I realize that's in the future.
Right. Cool. All right. So I think that kind of wraps it up. Jacob, Dan, does that give you guys some good guidance to, so I don't throw a wrench in your plans again?
No, I think that definitely does. Jacob and I will go back and talk about all the comments we received tonight. Really appreciate everyone's insight. And we'll look forward to coming back to this group and presenting our new ideas.
Terrific. And thanks, guys. And we can try to collaborate with the planning department so that we can kind of do some joint design reviews to save you guys some time. So we'll try to make that work.
Nick, how would you like us to proceed in terms of next steps? Would you like us to obviously there's some provisions we'll have to do, but are you looking for us to come back for another advisory presentation? Do you want us to go to the BPD? How would you like us to run this?
So hearing the comments from the commission, let's organize a group meeting with the BPDA with internal staff. And then when we all collectively agree that it's ready to go before our commission, we can either do another advisory review or we can do a complete design review, depending on where we are and how we've responded to the comments that the commission gave to us today. So let's go with that.
Okay.
Cool. Great. So thanks guys for coming out. If anyone needs anything, and then if there's any members of the public that are here that have any comments, send me an email. I can forward them over to all the commissioners as well as the development team here. So with that, the only other thing that we have to do tonight, commissioners, is just there's no staff comments, but I guess the staff comments are that you guys got the mailers that we sent out to the whole community. So cool. So I'm glad we got that out. That cost a lot of money, but I think it's important.
So much for your work on that. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure that it came out fantastic because I liked what was proposed. So
awesome. Yeah, it's exactly what you guys recommended. So we got that out. Cool. So that's it. And then I guess the only thing we'll need is just a motion to adjourn.
Great. Does any commissioner have a motion?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And ayes have it, and we are adjourned.
Great. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.
Thank you all.
All right. Take care now. Bye.